Thank you for leading us in that time of prayer, Phil, as we draw close to God and reflect on how expansive His work is, both in this church and in our world, as we engage in this time of Mission Month. And I'm particularly excited today as we continue in this time, Mission Month, because today is going to be a little bit different. I'm excited because we've got Diamond, who's going to come and share with us, going to have a bit of a chat with him as he prepares to step out into the mission field as well. So we'll have a chat with him in a minute. I'm excited because today we're going to be looking at what some of God's calls are on people in our community. We'll hear a few different stories, but also for each of us, how He invites each of us to engage on a personal level as we engage in His mission, both here and around the world. Before we jump into that, I just want to take a moment to set some context for us today. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what it means for us to meet with God in His mission. And last week, Jason outlined a great summary of what God's call is, the call He places on each of us as His followers to join with Him, that our God is reconciling all things to Himself in Jesus, that His mission is inviting each of us to join with Him as He reconciles everything to Himself, that just as He sent Jesus into the world, He's also sending us. That for each of us, as we meet with Jesus, as we are present with Jesus, He's present with us and He's inviting us to step out into the world and to be present with others. And then as we go, as we're participating and meeting with others, He calls us to make disciples, to invite others to know Jesus, to share the good news. And as Cam was sharing earlier, I don't know about you, but as Cam was sharing and leading out of worship, there was this moment for me where the good news, I felt it in my heart. Sometimes we can hold it in our heads, but I felt the good news of God. How much God loves us, how present and the hope that He brings. And as we experience that, God invites each of us to step out and to make disciples, to share that good news with others who need to know Him. This is important stuff. This is the heart of our faith and the heartbeat of us as followers of Jesus. And as Baptists, as a Baptist church, one of the core tenets of our faith, one of the things that we want to express with our faith is to not lose sight of God's missional heart, to not lose sight of the heart of God that wants to see all people come to know Him. That's why we take time each year to intentionally stop and to focus on the biblical call to share the gospel, to share the good news, to partner with God in His work in reaching those who are unreached and to support those who are doing that on the mission field. It's a time that we partner together and we participate in God's global mission through prayer, through giving, and through contemplating for ourselves how we are involved in what God is doing in our world. So I want to ask you today for yourself, how are you partnering with God in His mission? How are you partnering with God in your context, in your place, in what God's putting before you in sharing this good news with those who are unreached? What does it look like? It's easy at times to get so consumed with the big call, the big vision of go into the world and make disciples, to go to all nations and preach the gospels, to give sight to the blind, set the captives free, liberty to the oppressed, proclaim good news to the poor and the Lord's favor to those around. We reflect on that. We know that. But the reality is, as we go about that, it's not a one-size-fits-all model. It doesn't look the same in every context, with the same for every person. It looks different to different people in different times, in different seasons and contexts. Like if you're sharing the good news in a football club, it looks very different to if you're sitting down with a bunch of CEOs. The way that you go about that will look different. If you want to engage in universities and share with people in universities, it looks a little different how you do that with people who are homeless. It's the same good news, But the context is different. The context is different in how you share the good news in kids' ministry as to how you do that with those who are retired. It looks different with how you do it in Australia to that in Thailand, which is different again to the Ukraine or to Jordan. The way that we share this good news looks different in different contexts. The call remains the same, but the path to live it out looks different. Each one of us has an assignment that God gives us to share this good news, and it looks different to the person sitting next to you. There's multiple examples in Scripture where God has put a call. He says, this is what I want, but the way to live out that call slightly shifts. We can see it with Moses. The Israelites are in the desert. They need water. And in Exodus 17, says God tells Moses to go up and take his staff and strike a rock and water will flow. And he does that and water flows. As you read on in Numbers chapter 20, God tells Moses to go up and speak to the rock and then water will flow. Water will still flow, but the way to make it flow looked different. So what does it look like for you in your context? Have you noticed times where it isn't the same thing that you do that impacts someone? Maybe it's talking to a friend, and as you talk to someone else, the conversation looks different to how you talk about your faith or Jesus. The call remains the same, but for each of us, the assignment can look different at different times, in different contexts, in different places. And I think God's intentional in this personally. I think God does this intentionally because he wants us to remain dependent on him. He's not saying be dependent on a formula. He's saying be dependent on me and where I lead. Listen to my voice. We can see with Jesus that there's a story where he heals a blind man, right? He goes and heals this blind man. And how does he do it? How does he heal him? Well, that changes, again, on the context. You can see in Matthew 9, he heals the blind man by touching his eyes. In John 9, he heals the blind man by spitting in the dirt and rubbing dirt in his eyes. And in Mark 8, he heals the blind man by spitting in his eyes. The call is the same, to heal the blind man. But the way Jesus achieves it is different. And so too is it as we seek to be followers of Jesus and to live out his call to make disciples. It's a universal call. The call is the same, to go into the world and make disciples, to bring about God's kingdom, to live out God's mission. But as we do that, God gives each of us a different assignment. He might give you a different assignment today to the one that he gives you tomorrow. He might give you a different assignment in different conversations or different seasons in your life. But for each of us, wherever we find ourselves today, I believe God is giving us an assignment to fulfill, to participate in sharing his good news in the world. Because we are God's handiwork, his workmanship. Each of us has been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do in every season. But it looks different for me as it does for you. But he calls you to participate. And the reason for this, I believe, is, as Craig Groeschel says, he goes, to reach people that no one else is reaching, we need to do things that no one else is doing. To reach people that don't know the good news, God is going to call each of us to bring our gifts, our talents, our networks, our passions to the assignment he calls us to reach those who otherwise wouldn't have a chance to know about Jesus. So today what we're going to do is we're going to hear three stories, three different assignments that God's giving people. And as we hear these stories, they're going to be different calls to live it out, the big call, different places, different contexts, different durations of time. And as we hear these assignments, I want to invite you to ask the question of yourself, what is the assignment that God is leading me to right now? As I hear these calls, these assignments that others are following in, what is the assignment that God is giving me to join him in his mission? So I'll start by inviting Diamond to come up. Give Diamond a round of applause as he comes up and joins me. We're going to sit down for just a couple of minutes. You can grab the yellow mic and the stool. There you go. So Diamond's part of our community here. He's been part of our community for a while now. So I was just wondering, can you just share with us a little bit of your story, a little bit of your history, where you're born, what your life has looked like up until maybe the COVID times period in your life?
Well, thank you for having me here, Ben, and the leadership as well. My story began in the refugee camp. So I was born in the refugee camp in Thai-Burma border. In 2007, my family moved to Australia, and we settled here in this church with a little community under this, under the church. So there were basically 40 to 60 families there around. And I was very heavily involved in the early age, in year 7, in youth, till mid-20s, I was still involved. And COVID hit, and I don't know what else to do. It felt very dry a season. That's where my life began, you know, and that's where God leading me. The season felt very uncertain, don't know what to do, but I was thankful enough that I have a group of people who are inviting me to be able to do Bible study and pray together and encourage one another. So that's what it is.
Awesome. So you go through this period of time where you've grown up in church, you've changed cultures, changed, moved to Australia, grown up here, you have this season that's dry,
yeah.
And then you join this Bible study that Correct. Starts to encourage your heart and God speaks to you.
Yeah.
Just wondering, as you participate in that, God begins to open doors for you. Can you just share how God has led you from that Bible study?
Mm-hmm.
What doors he started to open and how he started to move in your life?
Yeah, so a friend of mine during COVID, he invited me to different church. He went to different church. He asked me if I wanted to do Bible study. I was heavily involved at that time doing here at church. Both church, the Korean and the English. I hesitated to go, but he asked me politely. So I ended up going there. And in that time, doing those period in COVID, after to COVID, I was given opportunity in the group leader, who are leading the group, asking me if I wanted to do mission. You know, there is available for me overseas. And I hesitated because I didn't come from Bible, like go to Bible study, you know, Bible college or anything, just young person growing up. So that's where they lead me. They asked me to go. And I said yes. So I went to Spain for 3 weeks. Really loved it, enjoyed it. I get to share the gospel there. So my main goal was like just serve, like cleaning, washing, toilet, and gardening as well, part of me. So we're there and we participate in a group that would encourage people when they come to the campsite and we help them to grow in the faith and reignite their faith again. So best highlight for me would be encouraging those who came to the campsite and pray for those who in need of their faith as well to continue that, yeah.
Awesome. So you come from a refugee background, moved to Australia. God speaks to you through this Bible study, an invitation to step out again into a third culture, into Spain. I've got up here, so you went to near Madrid,
yep.
Which you can see. And then you said the campsite's the bottom one on this side,
correct.
Out on the left. So I can't speak Spanish, so I'm not even going to try. But on the left, on the bottom there. So you step into this different culture.
Yes.
And you serve on a camp for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Can you share what happens when you come back to Australia after that?
I think I always felt very at peace when I was there. I felt that there's a season in my life where God said, yeah, this is where I want you to be. You know, there's a season where I start from don't know what it is, and there's the decision like, wow, I can actually be part of this. And when those seasons ignite you, you wanted to serve. God give you that spirit, the encouragement. It's like, oh, I really want to do this. I felt at home and presence being there. It's like there's a purpose and there's meaning to it. I come back. I talk to my family like, God is doing amazing things for my life. I want to go back and I want to be able to continue that journey where God called me to be, to serve there, yeah.
So you come back and you have this heart to step out and
serve.
Yeah,
step out and make a decision. Not my parents or the community of the church. It was my decision that I want to do and serve. I was there for 3 weeks. I get to see the inside of people from different church. Young, old leaders that are coming to the campsite. We serve them. We give them food. But I think the turning point was when the leaders and the people that are serving long time in the church, they spoke out their needs in that area in the church. I didn't come from counseling or anything like that, but for me, able to listen and encourage and leave it up to God, even though they may need something spiritually need, but all I can do is just pray for them and leave it up to God. And that was a turning point for me. It's like, I can do something more than what God gave me a little, but bigger than that, yeah.
Awesome. So often when we think about mission, sometimes we think it's got to be, I know particularly from a Karen background, it's the qualified missionary, yes, qualified pastor. Yes. I think I've got a couple of photos that start to show what mission looked like for you on the ground. Yeah. I was wondering if you just want to speak to those. I think there's some around the campsite that they'll throw up.
Yeah, so that's me, big smiling face. So that's Jorge. He's from Colombia, the one there. And his family and the group from England as well. And mostly these are volunteer young people, among young people. But those are truly, the other two on the left there, they were very missionary from England. Yeah. We serve around 60 to 80 people. So they come in for 4 days to do Bible study. So I get to really make connection with all the people there. But the American was heavily involved as well here. So it's the American mission camp. But they are very wise. I get to learn from them. And they understand different culture, Australia as well. And a lot of people from Spain think we ride a kangaroo. It's like, no, we don't. I'm from Australia, but we don't ride kangaroo. We have a pet, but they're very open, especially young people there. They speak fluent Spanish and English and Portuguese, many different. I only speak 2 languages, so my native language and English. Now I'm doing the third one, Spanish. So just be able, it's a privilege and a season where God called to serve in a small things that I have and I can give back to the people there, yeah.
So you've come back, you've started to lean into this and you realize God's doing something in you, calling you that. So you're looking to step back and go back to the field for, you're saying 2 years?
2 years, correct, yeah. So going back 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to share a little bit about what that's like as you prepare and step?
Yeah, so I am currently doing a fundraising here at the moment. So been a year and a half now. Just been a blessing to go to different churches as well, you know, Korean church and English church. In Victoria. So when I go back, I'd be again doing the same thing, but I'd be studying Spanish for 6 months and maybe on the weekend go help out in the campsite. And after 6 months, I would be very involved in the campsite. So that's our goal. We want to serve people. We want to see people reignite their faith again when they come to our campsite. Not just the campsite, but we also go out in local town area to share the gospel, to see people come to Christ, to know Christ. And that's my main goal. I have really passionate about it. But it's a long way, but learning there. But the Spanish people are very polite. They're very open to different people, different opinion. And just very blessed to be able to go there and see the firsthand what God is doing.
Awesome. So for us as your church community, as you're in this period, you're saying you're hoping to go next year is the hope.
Yes.
How can we be partnering with you, supporting you at this time?
Yeah, so I think prayer is definitely the one that I need. I have an interview in November with the Spanish embassy in Melbourne. So I'm a bit nervous. I don't know what they're going to ask me. But definitely going to be doing some missionary work there. But just be praying that God is leading me for at peace when I get there, and knowing that, yeah, He's there for me. And there's the strength and the courage to carry on and to serve in those areas of life. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Diamond's got some cards as well afterwards. If you want to hear more from him, please have a chat with him afterwards. I find it really encouraging hearing Diamond, because in our context here and with the Karen community across Vic, I believe Diamond is the first one that we've seen step to a third culture. So we've come to Australia, grown up here, and go, God is calling me now to step out into another culture. And it's really challenging and encouraging for the Karen community, but I think it should be encouraging for us as well, as God is calling him to step out and follow him faithfully. So thank you, Diamond, for coming to share.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, great.
Give a round of applause. So it's very encouraging. I've seen Diamond grow up in this church over the last, since he started in the youth space, and to see God continue to encourage and to move in his life and to grow him in these ways. And as he said, he's got some cards. He'll have these afterwards. Encourage you to grab these, chuck them on your fridge, pray for Diamond as he steps out as a pioneer in following Jesus for his community, to step out to his third culture. So that's his assignment. That's what God's been speaking to him as he met with God in the small group space. As he listened to God's voice, as the Spirit moved in his life, the assignment he's laying before Diamond is learn Spanish, serve on a campsite, encourage people's hearts and share Jesus. That's his assignment. What's your assignment? What is God saying to you? Got a video we're going to play. This comes from Sam Armstrong, who's one of our young guys serving with MAF. And he's going to be sharing for about a minute and a half about what a day in the life of Sam looks like as he's on the mission field, as he steps out and fulfills the assignment that God's laid before him. Can you cast your eyes to the screen?
A typical morning in the day in the life of an operations officer is... you arrive in the morning, I make sure that the program is in good shape. If there's any last minute cancellations, if we need to rectify anything aircraft wise, make sure that's all straightforward. And then once I'm satisfied with that, we then open the door for check-in for our regular public transport shuttle service. That's probably one of our biggest check-ins that we do in the morning. And then in the meantime, we do check-in for school flights as well and collect weights and the bags for teachers. Then they can head out to the homelands to do teaching. And then once I head back inside, phones are ringing off like mad. So that's the customers calling us for any requests that they might have, any questions, any alterations, or any bookings that they would like to make. Yeah, and then when planes get back, we help unload and then assist with any customer movements. And then in the event that we get a medevac request or a domestic violence request, we lock in to action mode and we help with the best of our ability to get to the homeland and the victims that are potentially in a life-threatening situation. Other than that, it's a pretty simple day for an operations person being in the office, but mentally it is extremely complex.
That's Sam Armstrong, one of our young guys who stepped out and is headed up up north, and he's serving with MAF as an operations manager using a very different set of gifts. He went up there for a short time. He came back and they rang him and said, would you come back and take it up again? He was trying to do it remotely. But God has gifted him with a particular set of gifts that enable his assignment to be serving and multiplying the impact that MAF can have in that context. What assignment is God giving you? How's he gifted you? What's he inviting you to as you join him in his mission? A couple of weeks ago, myself, Kathy Thompson, Reese Thompson went up to Canberra. We were invited to be a part of the National Leadership Forum. This is a forum that invites 200 emerging leaders aged between 18 and 26. People who are interested in leadership, who show potential, who are going to be the shakers and leaders of our nation moving forward. We invite 200 of them to come and to reflect on leadership. And often when you go into leadership forums, the things they'll talk about are the skills or the talents or the communication of leadership. With these emerging leaders over 4 days, we present some of the world leaders, political leaders, high-profile leaders. But what we do with these young people is we ask them to consider their faith and values, the things that underpin them as people, the things that inform the decisions they make. We invite these people up to Canberra, to the heart of Australia in the political leadership landscape. And honestly, most of these young people come up with a desire to advance their CV. This will look good. I'll meet in this network. I'll meet this person. I can big note myself. And we ask them, what are you serving? Who do you serve? Because you're either serving yourself or you serve others. Are you coming here because what your desire is to look good, to advance yourself, or are you taking the potential that you have in your life and using it to serve others? We sit down with young people over a couple of days and we start to shift their mentality of the future leaders of our nation from being self-serving to others-focused. We start in Parliament House, where they think they get to meet all these fantastic leaders, they get spoken to by the Prime Minister, the Leader of the Opposition, they get these addresses, they get to sit down with a Member of Parliament and hear the faith and values that underpin that Member of Parliament. And then the next morning we take them to the War Memorial. We start to talk about service, what it looks like to serve others. And then as we go, we start to invite them to share their story. And for these young people, they get seen for the first time in their life. For many of them, they've never had someone who has genuinely wanted to know who they are. And then we get to ask questions and speak into their lives. As we were privileged to do this, we get to share our stories. And as facilitators, we're people of faith, followers of Jesus. And we get to share how Jesus has impacted our lives and how Jesus models to us a way of living that is others-focused, that lays your life down and helps these young people see a world that is filled with hope and potential, not people just trying to look out for themselves. I have multiple opportunities up there to sit down with probably 20 to 30 young people in their 20s, high-profile young people. I had a guy, 19, who's working on a quantum computer. This is like the space race of our current generation. We've got people who've won Young Australian of the Year awards, people who are going to go places and for the first time they're hearing about a God that loves them and a way of living that is others-focused. I had a conversation one night when I was there in this four-day block, and this young girl, no faith background, said to me, "Why do you follow Jesus? Why is that a big thing? Why is religion a big thing for you?" And I was able to have this conversation in a group setting, 10 people around, and two of them turned to me afterwards and said, "You know, that's the first time I've ever heard someone talk about faith that wasn't just an ideology and it was about a person. I can see that there's something more here. There is something more real here." It's a different opportunity that God presented. We are grateful a number of people in this church enabled. Diamond, not who was up here, his younger brother who's on camera over there at the moment, and Caitlin to go up and participate in this. And Caitlin shared afterwards, she works with Sharing Hope, she works on knows what it means to serve others, and she said on day 3 it clicked, and I came back with an identity crisis in a good way, where I realized even in following Jesus, I went up there to try to get something to help me lead better, and I realized that it was about who I am and bringing that as a gift for others. Diamond can ask him about some of the impacts, but coming back, Diamond invited some people to come and to join part of the Gen Hope team and just networked out. And he was a big encourager to so many people whilst he was there as he shared his story and opened their eyes to a bigger world and to a God of love. It was a different assignment, shaping the leaders that are emerging. And as I reflected after it, for me, it gave me a lot of hope for our nation as I saw for one of the first times in a long time, people begin to slow down, to see one another and to ask questions, not just try to push their agendas onto each other. And I believe God moved in incredible ways in what I got to see. See, Jesus' call is clear to go make disciples, to bring about his kingdom. His call is clear for each of us as we're followers of him. As we reflect on it at Mission Month, as we reflect on it today, my question is, what is the assignment he is calling you to? What is it that the Holy Spirit is leading you into in this current moment, in this current season? Might be leading you into something for the rest of this year. He's saying, I want you to do this. I want you to invest in this relationship, this person, this ministry. I want you to hold this posture as you go about something in your life. Maybe that's the assignment. Maybe it's for the year. Maybe it's for this next day. And as you wake up tomorrow, he goes, I've got an assignment for you today. Today I need you to communicate with this person, to let them know that they're loved, that they're valued. Maybe it's not what you do, but who he wants you to come alongside. Maybe it's an assignment for you in the next conversation you're about to have. You know that no two conversations are the same. And maybe what God's assignment for you in making followers of Jesus, in sharing the good news of Jesus, is in the next conversation to go, oh, I need to pray for you, or I need to encourage you, or I need to share this scripture with you, or maybe I just need to listen. Maybe he's got a particular assignment for you in the next conversation. Because you see, as we share about Mission Month, as we hear these incredible stories, we see Sam, we hear about Diamond, as we shared the last few weeks, my question for you is, what is the assignment God is giving you in joining him in his mission? Because God has a clear mission, and it gets fulfilled when each of us participate, meet him in it, and do the good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. Can I pray for us as a community? Father, I thank you that you're a God that's inclusive. You're a God that is inviting each of us to join you in your mission, in your call to impact our world, that each of us get to play, each of us have a part to play. That your mission is so great that you call people to the other side of the world just to share how much you love people. Your love is so great and your mission is so great that you call us to step beyond our fence to our next door neighbor and share how much you love them. Father, I pray today that you would be speaking to each of us, that your spirit will be speaking and moving, and that you would make known what assignment you're calling each of us to today. What is it that you're inviting us into to join you in your mission of bringing about your kingdom, of making followers of Jesus, of stepping out into our world and sharing the good news that we have a hope of a future, good news of your love, your good news that can take away pain for 15 seconds to let us know of how much you love us and that there is a day that we'll all be called home. So Holy Spirit, I ask you now to speak to each of us. To speak and let us know that which you're inviting us into. That assignment that you're laying before us. as we play our part in joining you in your mission. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.